Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
So this past week, I came across my favorite phrase yet. It was delivered by playwright Lynn Nottage in a conversation for the Second Stage Company. "We are the second responders," she said, referring to the creative class, those who can't cure but who can heal with their works of art. It was one of several things that I watched or listened to during this, I believe, my eighth week of virtual theater. So first, let me share some thoughts on those and then move on to what's being offered up ahead. Now, I would say the biggest draw of the past week, and one that I expect will end up on YouTube in some form, is called The Oedipus Project. It was produced by something called the Theater War Company and is a colloquialized, something like that, take on Sophocles' famous story, you know, about the man destined to kill dad and sleep with mom. And the names involved here are impressive actors Oscar Isaac, Jeffrey Wright, John Turturro, Francis McDormand, and David Strait there. No wonder it attracted streamers from all over the world. We had to sign up, no cost, and then we're zoomed in. I figured I'd probably stay a few minutes and then ended up hanging around for more than 2 hours. The live reading itself only lasted about 75 minutes, but then was followed by an enlightening discussion with people from the first responder world. The reading was performed, and I assume adapted to fit this moment. Some of the lines were eerily resonant. "Save us from this plague. Put us back on the path of prosperity. Your words will lead us down the wrong road. People are dying with no one left to mourn them," and so on. And yet I found myself laughing throughout, watching those actors go for it, especially Oscar Isaac, who is hilariously frightening. "You will see what makes me great," he howls. Let me say right now that I nominate Oscar Isaac for best and busiest actor during the pandemic. Last week I saw him in a wrenching turn as a man dying of AIDS in a live reading of a play called Beirut. And now this. The other highlight of my week was that conversation, this one put on by Playwrights Horizons that included Lynn Nottage. This was going to be a big, maybe the biggest year for the Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright, having written the book for a musical about Michael Jackson that was Broadway-bound. She spoke of the importance of those who are storytellers to help us all deal with what she calls our collective trauma. Nottage tells pretty good stories herself. She said her most harrowing sighting recently was the line at a pawn shop in her neighborhood, much longer than the one at the supermarket. Next up for the Playwrights Horizons guest list is another highly respected playwright, Sarah Rule. Tomorrow, Tuesday, May 12th, I will be there. Another nice conversation was one brought to us by the Primary Stages Company, which is also offering them on a regular basis. The most recent features actors-writers-newly-married couple Jason O'Connell and Kate Hemmel. They are delightful, talking about their own fascinating trajectories. Both were very busy until now. Hamill had 4 productions going up, including one at the prestigious Guthrie in Minneapolis. They are hanging in and creating in their own ways and feel confident they will be back. Now, these are on the Primary Stages site. Meanwhile, the MCC begins what it calls Live Labs this Wednesday with the talented and entertaining actor Michael Urie. Those will continue every Wednesday until. I mentioned Playwrights Horizons a few minutes ago. Well, let's take another one to congratulate the company on the Pulitzer Prize just announced for drama. It was awarded to Michael R. Jackson for his highly original piece called A Strange Loop. I reviewed it here, and while much of the show is not comfortable to experience, it was unique and very much an exciting, relatively new playwright's voice. So big congratulations to Playwrights, makes up for having to cut its last show, The Unknown Soldier, which I did rave about here. So many stories like that, playwrights, actors, awaiting a big break until this happened. And then there are also are the ushers, the costume designers, the stage managers, the sound folks, and so many more suddenly unemployed with no end in sight. The New York Times this past week took us inside the postponement of one such production, Mrs. Doubtfire, big money and names involved, and just started rehearsals when the virus shut it down. Well, 15 more of those were looking forward to Broadway runs, and now, well, who knows? Certainly the biggest question mark is the Music Man revival with Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster. Tickets were selling really well months in advance. Well, the latest rumor I heard was that there might be discussions to film it instead. But hey, rumors are everywhere these days, as are caution and hope. I listened in on the Alliance for Jewish Theaters webinar yesterday, dedicated folks with a mission. Some are independent, like the Jewish Women's Theater in Los Angeles. Some are part of JCCs, like Theater J in Washington, Center Stage in Rochester. Their questions are interesting. How do we continue our mission while we are closed, asked the man behind Theater J. Well, they offer classes, and they do some streaming. Others are considering performances outside. But the truth is, the most oft-repeated phrase that I heard was, come next year. So, Jill, I guess in terms of the theater world, at least that is the current mantra. Maybe next season, come next year, take your pick.
Whenever, but don't let's forget that the season starts in August, doesn't it? I just remember ages ago, didn't Miss Saigon, and we're actually having this problem that people aren't focusing on, and I'm moving away from what you were saying, literally. But I am noticing as things are postponed or canceled or that there is a decided lack of awareness of what goes into putting something on.
Yeah.
You can't just go ping. And the, let's call it the antiques appear from, you know, they're just there for you to go look at from 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
And that I think is, you know, very much a factor, because in every business, the people who are in that business know what it takes. You know, you know far more about putting up a show than I do.
Oh, my God. It's the people involved. Even if it's not a big Broadway show, which obviously has the most money involved and the most people who then have to scatter, but small theater companies who are obviously at their most, in the most peril right now, because they have to just constantly raise money. They're nonprofits. So they're trying to plan a future season. They're canceling this season, trying to keep the same shows for next season. But then what happened to the shows that were supposed to be on next season? You know, it's absolutely, and while they're asking for donations constantly, and people are being very good about it, I did a story this week about music clubs, different venues, and they've started their own association to save, to try to get special treatment, because they're very unique kind. You know, they don't have any corporate sponsorship. But think about every town. I'm sure your town has tons of little music clubs that people gather in. They want to sit close together. They want to get up. And you know, they think 90% of those clubs, if this goes into next year, they think 90% of them will have to fold forever. So, you know, this is serious stuff. And yeah, a lot of people are out of work trying to save their, you know, what they love to do. It's impressive how they are stepping up and at least offering things on their websites, and we're grateful for it. And I don't know, you know, maybe next year. What else can we say?
I know that here, for example, with their we talked about the outdoor spaces. I know that the Sharon Playhouse, etc., is planning to do their outdoor thing.
Yeah,
and I think that. You know, of course, it's doubly hard in it's hard in the city, but oh. I am curious, and you know, and obviously, I'm not talking about shows that are being that need to be rehearsed, etc. But I am wondering whether people are utilizing their out of town, if you will.
Oh, sure.
And user opportunities.
I'd like to do, it would be interesting if we did one of these on a summer, you know, what will summer be like in the Berkshires this year? Just go one by one. I mean, you know that, you know, Barrington, we know, is going to try to put something up. Williamstown, no.
Right. They came up no, it wasn't Williamstown. It was Shakespeare. Came out really early. Alan Burns came out and said, "No, nope, we're not going to do. We're postponing our big this till the fall. Yeah. And this is what we're going to do virtually. And this is how we're going to do it." And what was striking about it was A, early on, and B, it didn't go. It was, this is what we're going to do, not, oh, what are we going to do? And that had a whole different tenor to it. Simply say, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're postponing this. And actually, what it showed from a business standpoint, if you will, is just an understanding of exactly what I was alluding to. It takes XYZ to get people here and to do what they need to do.
Absolutely.
And therefore, it's not, you know, it's not feasible.
No, and it's a question of getting the actors and those people willing to do it in some unusual form. And then the biggest question is, will customers go? Will theater goers go? When are they going to feel comfortable? Even if they're six chairs apart, I mean, when are they going to be comfortable? I don't know what, you know, it's just a... Big concerts, they're really in trouble. They can't do an arena, of course, but what about the outdoor concerts? You know, is that possible? I don't know. It's just really the uncertainty is
right. When I say anything, is it possible? Yes. Is it profitable? Unlikely. That's where the conversation has to be.
Oh, yeah, the head of this one, the association that's handling all 1,300 of these music clubs around the country says we are expected to pay rent, we have to pay insurance, we have to pay our staff if we want to try to keep them, she said, and we have zero revenue coming in. How many people could handle zero revenue for what, 6 months?
That sadly is the situation all over. Zero revenue. We have the same problem with our advertisers.
Of course.
I mean, it's not, or I should say our underwriters. It's, once again, I think it goes back to people don't understand it's a generation plus that don't quite understand the business of business. Yeah. But if you do understand the business of business, then this is... One of those, right, make lemonade somehow.
Yeah, listen, they call it show business, and it's about the business, but we hope it's going to be about the shows.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.